From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Set Apart. The text is found in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 6. Ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. This literal promise to Israel belongs spiritually to the seed after the Spirit, namely, to all believers. If we live up to our privileges, we shall live unto God so clearly and distinctly that men shall see that we are set apart for holy service, and shall name us the priests of the Lord. We may work or trade as others do, and yet we may be solely and wholly the ministering servants of God. Our one occupation shall be to present the perpetual sacrifice of prayer and praise and testimony and self-consecration to the living God by Jesus Christ. This being our one aim, we may leave distracting concerns to those who have no higher calling. Let the dead bury their dead. It is written, Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine-dressers. They may manage politics, puzzle out financial problems, discuss science, and settle the last new quibbles of criticism. But we will give ourselves unto such service as becomes those who, like the Lord Jesus, are ordained to a perpetual priesthood. Accepting this honorable promise as involving a sacred duty, let us put on the vestments of holiness and minister before the Lord all day long.
Oh,
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue his series of studies in the book of Romans. Having examined Paul's introduction to the epistle, Dr. Cairns now turns our attention to verses 8 through 15 of chapter 1, where the apostle speaks of his personal knowledge of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is not preaching mere theory. He had experienced the life-changing effect of the gospel in his own life, and his one desire was to make that gospel known to as many people as possible. In the text before us, Paul emphasizes that the gospel must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Gospel, the Foundation and the Fullness of the Christian Life.
Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. We've now reached what's called the introduction to the book of Romans. First seven verses are the greeting or the salutation. Now we have the introduction. You will remember that from verse 1 right through, Paul is building up step by step toward making his glorious statement of verse 16 and 17, which gives us the theme of the whole book. And for the rest of the book, he's expounding that theme. Now in this introduction, Paul makes the point, or should I say the two points, that the glorious and powerful gospel of Christ, of which he speaks in verse 16, first must make itself known in the lives of those who believe it, verses 8 through 12. And second, verses 13 to 15, it must then be made known by those believers to other people. Now tonight, I want us to think of the first of those, that the gospel, if it's as glorious and powerful as Paul says it is, it must make itself known, must be obvious in the lives of those who believe it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, called in verse 1, the gospel of God. Now in verse 16, the gospel of Christ, and as we have read tonight in verse 9, the gospel of his Son. This gospel is a remarkable thing. It not only instructs our understanding as to what the truth is. And if you stick with me through the weeks and months to come, I'll not say the 25 years that Tim has prophesied to come, but if you stick with me, you will see that this is a gospel that really does instruct us in God's truth. If you want to know all about man, you don't go to an anthropologist or an archaeologist or a historian. You go to the book of Romans. Here you have an inspired theologian. If you want to know all about man, you'll find the truth here. If you want to know about God, come to the book of Romans, and here you'll find the truth about God. If you want to know how man can be reconciled to God, come to the book of Romans. If you want to know how God goes about the work of bringing sinful men into a right relationship with himself, you come to the book of Romans. This, in many ways, is the most important book in all the epistles. Can't say in all the Bible, because it builds on the history of the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the foundation. But here is the explanation, the exposition. So the gospel does instruct our minds as to what is true. But it does a whole lot more. To listen to some preachers, you would imagine that the gospel is meant to be purely emotional. And they're always seeking to stroke your emotions. Rachel Carper gave me a tape that she had a few days ago from one of the most famous apologist for the Christian faith, a man who's always debating on university campuses and wiping the floor with atheists and agnostics, a man called Ravi Zacharias. Toward the end of his tape, he issues a stern and very, very appropriate warning. And it is, do not engineer emotion. And I said amen to that. Much of our music is meant to stroke the surface of man's being, to engineer or manipulate emotion, to produce an immediate emotional effect. Much preaching is directed at the same end of producing an immediate emotional effect. Now, you can't live without emotion, but never engineer emotion, or it will not be of God. On the other hand, there's a lot of evangelical preaching, usually Reformed, that goes to the opposite extreme. And it merely introduces what preachers, I think, wrongly call concepts. Biblical concepts. I hate that word. With a passion, I hate that word. I suppose you could argue that the mind of God has conceived. But even that's not theologically true for reasons I'll not get into tonight. God knows everything eternally, simultaneously, and intuitively. And to start taking the great truths of the gospel, the mighty Everest peaks of divine revelation, and using the relativistic term concept, to me, is an abomination. I don't like it. Now, I'm working hard at being able to express my opinion so that you can understand it. I've been told I don't make my opinion strongly known enough, so I'm trying to do that. Comes hard for me being from Ireland. But there are preachers who are always seeking to instruct the mind and simply introduce the mind to the concepts of the Bible. That's not preaching, by the way. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book on preaching and preachers, preached at Westminster Seminary many years ago. Martin Lloyd-Jones told those budding preachers that preaching is not lecturing. A lecturer can say that he's done his job when he has instructed the mind. A preacher cannot. A preacher must instruct the mind, but he must storm the strongholds of the human will. He must produce a verdict to the truth that he's preaching. Otherwise, he's not preaching at all. That's very true. Has to do that. You see, the gospel, if it's true, and it is, must affect the way we live. And the whole world knows that. The whole world knows that. Have you ever heard anybody come to an atheist and say, "Now, you are an atheist, and your life doesn't measure up to what you believe"? You ever heard that? I've never heard that. The world knows rightly that when you look at an atheist and you see him live in adultery and fornication and lying and deceit and selfishness, he's only doing according to his belief. But even the ungodly know, if you profess to believe this book, if you profess to believe this gospel, then it ought to affect the way you live. Not only affect the way you live, this gospel demands to govern the way we live. It is the foundation of our life and of our service. It demands that we live out what we believe, that we act towards God and we act towards men, both friends and foes, in the light of the truth of the gospel. I was covering a little of that this morning from John chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus laid aside human prejudice of every kind in order to reach out to the woman of Samaria. So with us, if we believe this gospel, we must live toward God and we must live toward man, not in the light of human opinion, not reflecting the current state of man's philosophy, but reflecting the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, this is what it really means to be a Christian. A Christian is a person who so completely believes the truth of Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, both Jew and Greek. He so completely believes that, that its truth overwhelms his entire being and dictates his entire behavior. Now, to such a person, the gospel will be first the foundation of his whole life and service. But it will be more than that, because it will impart a fullness to his life and service. As verse 11 and verse 12 make clear, where Paul says, I'm longing to see you, to impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end you may be established. And then he adds, that is, not only that I may benefit you, but that in pouring out my soul to you, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me, or that we may be comforted in the faith of the gospel in each other. So tonight, the theme of verses 8 through 12 is very simple. It's the gospel, the foundation and the fullness of the Christian life. And in discussing that, Paul used his own experience to illustrate the point. And so will we. I want us to look first at verse 8, where we have Paul's thanksgiving. He says, first, there's a lot, believe it or not, there's a lot has been said on that one word, first. First. And a lot of good things have been said on it. Lloyd-Jones, for example, likes to, the word is expatiate on this. Because first seems to indicate that there's going to be a second. That's what I love about Paul. I told you he was a free Presbyterian. He never got to the second. So don't blame me the next time that happens. He never got to point two. He just said first. Lloyd-Jones makes the point that this happens quite a lot in Paul's writings. That he starts to make a point and he gets carried away with the glory and the grandeur of it, that he's not worried about having the form of a speech. He's not worried about having it all perfectly wrought out as a work of literary art. He was a preacher. He was a pastor. He was an instructor of men. He was a winner of souls. He was a shepherd of sheep. He was not there to show what a skillful literary pen he had. A lot of truth in that. So many preachers are so worried about, and I believe, and all the students here have got to turn their ears off at the moment, because I'm employed to teach them homiletics, and they've got to learn the craft of how to use and build on a text. But there's so many preachers are more bound to their notes than they're bound to. They're more bound to their little form than they are to the truth. I was talking about emotion a minute ago. If a preacher preaches without emotion, I don't think he can preach at all. He shouldn't be a preacher. He might be a garage hand. He may be filling shelves at Bilo, and that's a perfectly good job. I'm not despising the job, but he shouldn't be a preacher. He could be president of the United States, but he shouldn't be a preacher. If he can preach the gospel without it stirring his own emotions, he has no right to be in the pulpit. Because the gospel is bound to produce this emotion within you. Must do it.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.